revealing the truth about Islam, broadcasting the light of Jesus Christ into the darkness of Muslim hearts,
exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors of the Quran.
It's revealing the truth about Islam.
Phone lines are open now.
If you'd like to call and ask your question, call 347-857-1380.
And now, your host guiding you to the straight way,
Usama Dakdok and Christian Prince.
Usama, you there tonight? How are you doing?
Can you hear me now?
Now we can. Go ahead.
All right. Well, another night in a wonderful weather. Believe it or not, I am outside in the garden of a beautiful church in the state of Ohio because they have alarms system in the church, and in a few minutes, the alarm will go off if I'm still inside the building. So I'm doing this podcast from the parking lot of a Church of God in the state of Ohio, and as usual, and it's my joy to have with me the one and the only one, Christian Prince. Hello, CB.
I have an obligation against what you said, the one and the only one. The Muslim now, they will start bowing to me, and they will think I am Allah. No, there's two of me, actually.
I don't have another Christian Prince, CB. It's only one CB in this show.
Well, you do not know all my secrets. This is why I'm saying there's other one. You know, my mom, she gave birth to two. I am a twin. But anyway, peace of Christ to all.
You're killing me, man.
I hope you guys will have a good time with us. And we have our sister Christy with us. Christy, the mic is yours.
Ah, it's so nice to be here with you guys. And, we spread the word about the show. We had a great show last week and lots of callers and lots of people in the chat room, and we appreciate them, and we appreciate all the folks we have with us from Christian Prince's program, too. So it's great to be with you. And you guys, take it away.
All right. Well, believe it or not, it's going to be a beautiful 2 hour, a wonderful 2 hour, where we will learn more about Islam. Revealing the truth about Islam is the goal of this 2 hour for every Saturday. And I hope and I pray as you guys listen to it live now or later as you hear the recorded one, you know it is every Saturday, so you need to invite your friend and maybe tell your people in your Sunday school group or in your church or in your neighborhood, those who do not know the truth about Islam, this is the place. We tell the truth here, and it's we'll do everything we can to be open, to be without any hesitation to tell the truth. I mean, it's to love is to tell the truth. You know, we have a couple 3 weeks ago, some Muslim man, he wants us to read Matthew 5:44 because he thinks 5:44 command Christian to love, but we're not loving because we're hurting the Muslim. We're exposing the lies of Islam, the lies of Muhammad, the lies of the Quran, and that makes us an enemy to the Muslim, not a loving to the Muslim. And obviously, he is wrong. 5:44 teaches what? Matthew 5:44, to love our enemy. And if you truly love your friends, love your neighbor, love. If you go to a doctor, imagine with me, CB. If you're if you have some sickness in your body, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you know what? I love CB, and I don't want to hurt his feeling. I know CB is sick, so I'm not going to tell him anything about his sickness. I'll just lie to him. I'll tell CB, you're good, you're cool, you don't need any medicine, you're not sick. And then CB, the simple disease he had, get bigger and bigger, and someday CB died because the doctor did not really care about him, the doctor did not love him, he did not tell him that he's sick, he didn't give him the right medicine. What kind of love does CB? What kind of love in a relationship between a doctor and a patient when the doctor ignores the patient and let him die because of he doesn't want to upset him, he doesn't want to hurt his feeling?
First you need to stay a little bit away from your microphone because it's making a little bit noise. Regarding love, it's very clear that the whole concept of love as a word, people don't understand. There is two way of love people they deal with every day in their life. There is giving and there is taking, And there is two kinds of people. There is the people who love to give and there is people who love to take. Mm-hmm. Now, we as a Christian, we've been ordered to love to give. Not ordered to give, this is different. No, we've been ordered to love to give, which means that order is an order to you, but it's still it's based on your love to give, not as a duty, you know, not just as like a, oh, like Muhammad, you know, told them to pray five times, so the Muslims, they pray five times, not because they love to pray, because it's a duty to pray. So for us, it is a love to give, and give can be about anything. So it can be about helping somebody, a poor, by food, by clothes, by anything. At the same time, the most important love is to save the souls from going to hell.
Now, amen.
If you want to help somebody, you don't ignore his problem. You try to help him with his problem. So how you can help the problem without dealing with the problem? And to deal with the problem, you have to tell him with the problem. You have to help him out to understand the problem. And it's what we do.
Amen, amen. So the true love is to tell the truth, and we say it in love. Sometimes we sound like we're joking, we're being making fun of Muhammad or fun of Islam. But that's not us. We're not making fun. When I share with you tonight some of the mistakes, some of the error in the Quran, which is concerning moral issues. I mean, this is very important. So when I say Muhammad taught this, or Allah says this in the Quran, that does not mean I'm making fun of Islam. That does not mean I hate the Muslim. No, I love the Muslim. And my true love to them is to wake them up to say, you are in a false religion. Your God is not God. Your Allah is Satan. Because look what Satan is teaching. He teaches you it's okay to kill. It teaches it's okay to steal. It teaches it's okay to lie. It teaches it's okay to swear and swear by things which God of the Bible never taught us to do. It teaches you this and this and all this moral issue, moral error, moral mistakes in the Quran is a great evidence that Muslims are not following the true God and they're following Satan. So when I point to my dear Muslim brothers and sisters to these mistakes, so this error in the moral issue concerning life in the Quran, that's not because we hate you, Muslim friends. No, because we love you. We want you out of the darkness of Islam. We want you to know Christ and to be set free so you can spend eternity in heaven. How? When you receive forgiveness of your sin. How? By believing in Jesus down the cross and rose again for your sin. And that's the only way for Christian Prince, for Christy Johnson, for Usama Dagdo, for anybody to get to heaven. The only way to get to heaven is Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father but through Jesus Christ alone. Unless you are Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. If you do not have sin in your life, if you never say a lie, if you never steal anything, if you never commit any sin in your life, if you are perfect, you don't need the cross of Jesus. See? The cross of Jesus is a punishment for our sin, and it was on him. He carried our cross. He died on that cross to give us life. And if we believe in him, if we believe in Jesus, we are set free because the payment, my debt, has been paid on that cross. Through Christ alone, I can be forgiven. Now, if you don't believe in Jesus and you have one sin in your life, you will spend eternity in hell if you rejected Christ and his love. And that is the heart of the show, to expose the lies of Islam, expose the false teaching of the Quran, as we'll be talking a little bit more tonight, and lead the Muslim to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you see it in any other way, that is Satan. That is Satan who's trying to blind your eyes, who's trying to cause you have problem in your hearing, and your heart will not be tender to hear the truth about Islam or the truth about Christ. Amen?
Amen. And yeah. We have a Muslim in the room, Osama. He's saying that insulting someone is like satanic ritual murder. And he's a Muslim. Like, do you think a Muslim is being honest in here about insulting? Isn't it he's a prophet? He do nothing except cursing the Christian and the Jew? Isn't it the
if we remove the insulting of Muhammad, if we remove the insulting of the Quran to all creature, there's nothing left in the Quran. So I don't know how can a Muslim come to us and tell us insulting is committing a murder. No. That means your Allah and your Muhammad and your Quran do nothing but committing murder every day to every Jew, to every Christian, to every atheist, to every agnostic, to every person who does not believe in the falsehood of Allah and the falsehood of Muhammad and Islam.
As an example,
you know,
the Muslim, go ahead, Chrissy.
Oh, I was just, we do have a caller that's got a comment, but I just wanted to say something that I have learned from Usama, from Christian Prince, from studying the Quran, one of the things that many Christians don't understand, and many Muslims may not understand it either, the God of the Quran is a harsh and brutal God who has no mercy for any sinner. And this is why we believe it's so important to reach Muslims, because the God of the Bible, he loves and provides forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And that's the message that they don't know, because they don't believe that Jesus was crucified and died for our sins. And I hope that more Christians can understand that. That's why we have to reach the Muslims with that message, because there's no forgiveness, no mercy in the Quran. So.
Amen.
So you said
you've got a caller.
You want to
check with the caller, and
okay, sure.
You may have a comment. We bring them in. They're not a Muslim. Can they talk?
Absolutely. Anybody. Absolutely. But CB,
hello.
You were saying something. I want. Go ahead.
Caller, we've got you on, and I think Christian Prince was going to make a comment, but you can make a comment or ask a question if you'd like.
Sure. And make a comment, and the comment is that, you know, even if Christians were perfect, or, you know, somebody lived to be perfect, they would just get to live forever. But if you really accept Jesus as your Savior, your reward is even so much more, because we're rewarded like the reward of Christ. So we get a much better reward not being this perfect thing. Because if we're perfect, we just live forever. But if we actually accept Jesus as our Savior, our reward comes out even more, because then we're rewarded like Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's a wonderful comment. And here is the difference. When a Muslim commits sin, he's practicing the teaching of Allah. When the Christian commits sin, he's falling from the... he's doing the opposite of what the Bible teaches. When a Muslim go and kill a Christian or kill a Jew, that's sin. That's the sin of murder. But in the belief, in the teaching, in the doctrine of the Quran, that is what Allah commanded him to do, to go and kill. But if a Christian got angry, which the Bible considers equal to the sin of murder, that is sin. See, Muslim live in the sin, and it's not counted as sin because that's what his belief is. But when Christians fall into the same sin, that is a sin, and the blood of Jesus can forgive it, and the blood of Jesus can remove it away for sure.
You know, it's not about reward anyway. You know, for us, we don't do the good because of reward.
No.
Because if we do things due to seek the reward, we are like, the selfish one who don't do good things because he should do good things because it's the right thing to do, but he is doing good things because there's a reward.
Mm-hmm.
For us as a Christians, the reward is the last thing we think about. You know, this is why you see Jesus, he said, clearly that the master is the one who serves. You know, so you don't seek a reward to be a master, like, which means you don't seek to be a master, because you seek to serve, and that will make you a master. You seek serving others. And this is why when they refused to let him wash their feet, he told them, you know, if you don't let me do it, you don't belong to me. I don't know you. You know, so he was teaching us that we are not looking for masters who order people. We are looking masters who serve, and that is what master in Christianity means. The master is the one who serves others. So it's not based in reward, based on you doing the right thing to do. And that later, like the Lord himself, he will reward you with that. And people will reward you, actually. Because people will, you know, when you give people love, people will give you love. You know, life is like a mirror. And whatever you're going to come back to you at the end, you know, especially from the Lord himself, because he is an absolute justice.
Everything about Christianity is almost the opposite of everything in the world. If you want to be first, you have to be last. And if you want to serve, then you became the master. And if you truly love, you have to give. And if people try to take one yard of your land, give them two. And if you want to take your shirt, give them your cloth also. It's just the philosophy of Christianity is you give up your life, you will have it forever. You hold onto your life, you lose it forever. It is opposite of the philosophy of any cult, especially the cult of Islam.
So do you have any question for us? I don't know what his name, the brother he's calling. Do you have any question or that's it?
That's it.
Okay,
that's
thank you
it.
Very much.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Vaughn.
All right. Well, what's going on around the world? If anybody else come to give us a call, we'd love to hear their call, or their questions, their comments, whatever the Lord put in their heart, especially if they're Muslim or if they're liberal. The whole entire 2 hours are open for anybody. We will change the topic. We'll stop what we're teaching to bring Muslim into the broadcast or to bring a liberal. No kidding. But there's so much stuff going on around the world, CB. Would you give us a quick view to what's happening in the Middle East? And maybe we will see what's happening with the phone years.
Well, the Middle East, as usual, it's a messed up place. Nothing new. But it sounds like things is getting very hot and very warm this season. I heard that the Turkish army, they are spreading their soldiers around the Syrian borders. And many, they are worried about maybe the NATO is going to make strikes against Syria, the same as it did in Libya. But me, personally, I don't believe this will happen. But you never know. Because you know, the Middle East is not just a place you hit and you, you know, like Syria is not like Libya. You know, Syria is a very strategic area, and if you open, if you make a fire there, the fire is going to spread everywhere. And what we heard until now, and this is for sure, that the Iranian army are preparing themselves to take a side with the Syrian in case the Syrian, they have an attack from the NATO. And that means if the NATO attacks Syria, the Iranian, they will attack Turkey, and the Turkey will attack the Iranian, and the Iraqi will take the side of the Iranian, and that will be a very mess. And that means, I guarantee you, that the oil will stop coming to the whole
Western country.
Yes, because Iran, the first thing they will do to make a high pressure to stop the war, because the war at the end will not be for their benefit, you know. They cannot go for a long run. They can go for a short run because they are no match for the NATO anyway. So what they will do, they will strike fast and easy because they are very close. They are in the Gulf, actually. They can close all the Gulf and they can stop all the oil port, you know, export to all the world. And in the same time, already the Western, they are suffering with a lot of Western government suffering with a lot of problems. Like we hear about what happened in USA, like they downgrade the credit of USA and soon of France, and England having the same problem. And I heard today in the news something very funny, Osama, that the Iranian, the Ahmadinejad, he offered the British government to send them army to take care of the bad guys in Britain.
That's like a joke for the 2011.
Honestly, this is what they say. This is what the news said. And and actually, you know what? Believe me, the Iranian army would do a lot better job than the British police.
British police does not even hold a gun. It's CB. You know, every time I watch TV and I see the police in England, in London, running in the streets like cowards. I mean, it is a joke. How in the world a police without a gun? Police without a weapon is like what? Like a teacher cannot read and write, like a doctor who does not have a clue what is medicine, what disease.
Yeah,
is.
Absolutely.
I mean.
So there is no benefit. What the benefit of this? You know, why you send him? Why you send him in the street if he can do nothing? And on top of that, he get injured and he run and he look bad in front of people. You know, like he looked like an insult for the government. The same as we saw when the Muslims did strike in against the war in Gaza. We saw the British police, they are running. I think the British people, they have to change the rules in their country regarding this.
They still live. I believe CB is living in the years. I don't know what years when the police did not. Before they made guns, you know, they're living in the old days. Maybe they should give the police a sword. Will look a little bit decent that have nothing in his hand.
You know, the problem is that Europe is run by liberals. And those liberals, they have a problem with being to do what they should do. They do what they should not do, but they will not do what they should do. Like now, after all what happened, they lost more than 300 million pound, you know, in a few days, and that is going to cost them, according to studies, more than $1 billion. Just to clean up and to build again and fix what happened, and not only that, they damaged the tourism because now it's summertime, and England.
That's the best time for their business. Yes, indeed.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is the top the season for England to have tourists, and tourists can make a lot of money to England. So they destroy everything, and if the prime minister from the first day, he said, "Let us put the army in the ground and let us teach those bad boys what we can do," you know, nothing will happen and nothing again will happen, because until now, if you don't show them how tough you are going to be, what is the guarantee they will not do it tomorrow? You know, there's no guarantee, because they will do it again. You know, they are a bunch of losers. And, you know, I heard many radio shows, you know, as always, the liberals trying to give excuses. Economy is bad, etc. is bad. You know, economy is bad for everybody. You know, I'm not going to do that. Who said that we are living like millionaires? You know, we are not, and still we don't do what you know. An economy is bad. Why I want to burn a store of somebody who live in my area? You know what this has to do with fixing economy. If you want to fix economy, you know, ask the government to resign, etc. You want to strike? No problem. Go in the street peacefully, put a sign in the top of your head, and do whatever you do. But you don't go and burn buildings and kill people and steal money and steal stereos and steal TV. It is a low class society. This is who did that, and the good thing actually I saw, Osama, I saw the rich for the first time. They are taking over their areas to protect their areas. You know, strong men and women, they went in the street to protect their areas, not the police. They are not waiting the police for no more, because the police
the police is like a joke.
Yeah, it's like the police is like a gay club. Like, spank me, I like you. You know.
Yeah.
So they are not waiting for the police no more, and they are the one is stopping to protect themselves. And I think this is the best way to do it, because as long the police in that country don't have the tools. And look, now the prime minister is threatening the bad boys, saying to them, if you don't stop, we are going to use water against you. Water?
Is this going to be hot water or warm water? What is the temperature?
I'm not sure. You know, I would prefer to have shampoo with it. You know, shampoo, not shampoo. You know, what water? He is threatening them, and he's telling them we are going to use water for the first time in 100 years. Like, what a big deal, you know? Using water? Those kids, they will love it. What do you want to do to a teenage or somebody 18 years old or 20 years old or 25 with water? He would die. He would run. He would go home. He would dance. He would love it. It's summertime. It's not winter. Like, I understand if it's freezing, you know, and they use water against him, I would say, okay, you know, water will do the work. But it's summertime.
Most likely, they would like to have some hot water.
I know, actually, they would love that. They would, like, you know,
just some water, not hot. I mean, I don't know why I say hot.
Yeah.
Because it would cool them off.
Yeah, so they are not smart enough to deal with it, and you know, they need to change. In the same time, last week, I don't know if you saw the news, the like what they call them anti-Islamic government in Egypt. They have a protest, you know, they put straight in the street to prove that Egypt is not going to be run by Muslims. And it's not only their vote is going to count. There's millions of people who don't want Islam to be ruled in Egypt, including the Muslims. And we know the majority who went in the street were not not the Christians. The majority, they were the Muslims against Islam.
Yeah. But don't forget, CB, also last week, also we have so many Muslims who did the opposite of that, including removing the eagle from in the middle of our flag. You know, our flag is red in the top and three part of color, red in the top, white in the middle, with the eagle in the middle of the flag, and black on the bottom. So they removed the eagle out of the flag, and they put the wonderful statement, the first pillar in Islam, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. No God except Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. And obviously this makes some people, all Christian, uncomfortable with that, because they're literally trying to force the Sharia, forcing Islamic teaching, Islamic doctrine on everybody in the country. What else do we need? Two swords too, to make it like a Saudi flag?
Yeah. Well, you know, we will see in the election, if people who they are against Islam, they are big number, then mm-hmm. the Muslims, they will not be able to do that. And I hope the Christian Coptic, they will not do what usually they do, which is staying home, you know.
Yeah.
I hope this time they will go and vote and work hard to fight the Islamic law in Saudi Arabia, in Egypt. Otherwise, you know, they will get
what they want. Our country.
Yeah, they will get what they want. And they will have...
No, but I think Christians are standing up. I just found out yesterday, actually, my own neighbor, where we used to live together, he's a student of my own brother, when my brother used to be a teacher, and his name is Amir. He's a mustashar, a very high position, of course, in a court system. And I hear my echo now. He is leading a group in Egypt of Christian, and the number was 300,000, and I never heard in my life to have 100,000 or 200,000 or 300,000 to be in unity, Christian Coptic, stand up and have their own voice. We never had this before, and if we do not do that, we would lose our life. Not only we're going to lose our freedom, we literally will be demolished, will be wiped out of the face of the earth. So we hope and pray that things will go better in Egypt. It's all obviously in God's hand, and we just have to pray. Anything else important in the Middle East before I get to Christy, and maybe she can share with us about the Republican debate we got 2 days ago and the result of the debate. Maybe Christy can share a little bit. Anything else in the Middle East, CB, before we move to the state here?
Well, we mentioned the most important things, and I think that's it. So let us hear what Christy she had.
All right. Christy, tell us what is going on in America, and I know you watched some of these, the last debate we have Wednesday, and the result of the debate, who won, who lost, and any good news, anything coming up here with the Republican people here?
Well, there's a couple of things that are very interesting, and one is that a lot more of the Republicans in the last few days in the debate and then also the straw poll that's taking place in Iowa, were willing to come out and talk about America as a nation that promotes the Christian view and doctrine, and that they were pro-life. Ron Paul talked about his opposition to abortion, which is kind of an unusual thing, at least from what I've heard him say in the past. And we were just talking about this on the other radio program, that a lot more people are taking the Christian conservatives seriously. And so one thing we need to be on guard about is that, you know, everybody can say they're a Christian. And it looks to me like there are some real genuinely good candidates out there who I really liked. Rick Santorum, he had a very strong statement about Iran and the danger it represents to the United States. I really enjoyed some comments that Herman Cain made. There was some great things said by Michelle Bachmann. I mean, a lot of candidates did a really good job. The problem is the media. You know, you never know how the media is going to try to spin things that a candidate says. So some of their statements are used against them because they're Christians to try to make them look like they're,
you know, this
radical.
Me so sick. You know, Christine, this makes me so sick. When George W. Bush says he pray, he rely on God for his decision, the media made him like an extreme Christian. The guy is so bad, he pray. He's a Christian. We don't want him. But
yeah.
The same dumb liberal media speak very highly of Obama. He's a Christian. Everybody tell me he's a Christian. They know he's a Muslim. They have not any evidence that he's a Christian. They know about his church is a wicked cult church. And they all bragging about him being a Christian. And so is I'm,
yeah.
And I know this is going to happen with all this wonderful people running for against Obama. They're going to, the media, I guarantee you, if one of them say mention anything about Jesus or about the Bible or about prayer or about abortion, anything to make them look like Christian, they're going to jump all over them. They're not good. Why? Because they're extreme Christian. They are demonic Christian. But Obama's still a good born-again Christian. Committed one.
You know,
how? I don't know.
You're saying the exact same thing that we were talking about on the other radio program, and I said what I fear is it's fine to see these people come out in the Republican debate and in the straw poll, the Republican straw poll in Iowa, which, by the way, Michelle Bachmann won. And, you know, she's gotten a lot of criticism from the media. But and Herman Cain did very well as well, and as so did Tim Pawlenty. Anyway, but they did good. But the problem is that this is the Republican meetings, and then when we get a candidate, what is the media going to do? We saw what they did in 2008. We saw what they did in terms of supporting Obama, covering up his history, not giving any criticism to him. But you see, the sad thing is we don't know where this is going to go. And the media, you know, media plays a big role. And I think they're just looking for things that they can bring up to try and make the candidates who express their faith, just like Usama was saying, to try to make them look bad. But also, not everybody who says they're a Christian is a Christian, and we need to be really praying. We really need to pray for this country.
All right. Well, Christy, would you please take us on a quick break? And when we come back, by God's will, we'll be talking about the moral error. We're not going to share all the moral error on the Quran, because obviously, if we're going to cover every moral error in the Quran, we're going to be having this program for a couple months, 3-4 months, to cover the moral error. We're just going to share with you samples of moral error in the Quran. So when we come back, we will cover this by God's will. And until we see you again in a few minutes here, God bless you. We'll take a quick break here.
If you'd like to call and ask your question, call 347-857-1380.
Phone lines are open now.
Call 347-857-1380. Revealing the truth about Islam. We'll be right back, right after this short break. Welcome back to Revealing the Truth About Islam with your hosts, Usama Dakdok and Christian Prince.
Phone lines are open now.
If you'd like to call and ask your question, call 347-857-1380.
it is a 1 hour and 24 minutes and 35 seconds from the end of our 2 hour, and a time fly every Saturday as we get together on this 2 hour. I've not started talking yet, and I'm looking at the clock saying, man, we lost a half hour. No, we lost 36 minutes, but God is good. And we have some comments about this glue book. I don't know, what is the glue book that people are talking about, Christy? Book with glue
the
or something?
Book?
I don't know. Tell me about it.
They're talking about the deception of Allah. That would be Christian Prince's book, and they said it's a very good book. They've given you the connection to the deception of Allah volume. So, thank you.
What the glue has to do with anything? When people read it, they cannot leave it until they read it, or something, they get them stuck to it or something. I don't know what that means.
They cannot finish it. They can't finish it.
They can't put it down. It's got glue on it. Don't you remember?
They can't put it down. I called the gentleman who printed my Quran, and I told him, you need to put extra glue, man. You put too much glue in CB's book, and people like it, and nobody like my Quran. What is wrong with your book? He says there's no glue or anything.
No, your translation is very good, actually, but as we said, the translation is just a translation, but a book is more making people thinking, studying. You know, translation is just reading a text, you know, which is not even yours. You know, it's like you are not inside the text. But when you make your book, people will be reading you and reading your thought and reading about Islam at the same time.
By the way, I got a copy myself when I was in Florida last week, and I got a copy because it was returned from somebody, and I was so happy to hold your book in my hand. I said, man, what is the chance for a publisher not to hold a book in his hand? But guess what? I left it in Florida, so I don't have a book right now. You better send me a copy, man.
Oh, okay. The publisher don't have a book, guys. Did you hear it? The publisher don't have the book. Okay, I'll send you one.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm so embarrassed of myself that I was so happy because I got this copy, and I said, you know what, at least, because I really, anyway, so maybe CB will feel sorry for me and send me
What happened to the copy you have?
You
gave it to somebody?
No, I left it in Florida. The one copy I got, I left it in Florida by mistake.
Okay, it's okay. Well, it's okay.
But that's like, maybe when I see you next year or the following year, maybe I can get some of your book, man.
Sure.
I would like to put some on my tables in my churches as a traveler and speak. Anyway, so that was about Christian Prince's book, and obviously, and I hope and I pray everyone who listens to us right now who have not got The Deception of Allah, please go to Amazon.com and type The Deception of Allah, and you'll be able to get it. And if you know some friend who does not have a copy, or those who will listen to this podcast during the week, please, Amazon.com, The Deception of Allah, Christian Prince book. It's a wonderful book. This is part one, because part two will come up, I don't know when, but sometime, if not this year, beginning of next year. I don't know how the time will go with the second part, which is going to be more continuing to what CB did. And I believe everybody who has read the book is speaking very highly of it. And I hope we will continue to read it, share the facts and the truth you're studying it. And I will say that when you read the Quran or you read any books about Islam, if it's CB books or any other book, this information is the tool which every American needs to fight the war against Islam. It's a spiritual warfare, and it's not going to be one with bullets. It's going to be one with knowledge. And which means what? You get this information in your head. You talk to some friend. You talk to your neighbor. You talk to some relative, and he tells them about this information. He tells them about these books, because the more we know, the victory is ours. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because we do not have any clue who is Allah and what is the deception of Allah, most likely Muslims will continue to deceive your neighbors and your friends into the lies they teach about Islam. The more we know, the better we are, the more we equip not only to defend ourselves from the lies of Islam, but even to help Muslims to come out of the darkness of Islam. And that's my prayer. The moral error. And I'm going to share with you, as I said before the break, just a few of these moral mistakes. Do you know that the Quran teach it is lawful for Muslims to deny their faith? The Quran teach it is lawful for Muslims to deny their faith. I was talking to some friend in, I think, Washington State, and she said, Usama, this man, he worked in my job for 6 years. He lied, and he told me he's not a Muslim. But I found out 2 years ago that he is a Muslim. So 6 years he lied that he, and he said he's not a Muslim. But she knows for sure he's a Muslim because she found the Quran in his desk, and obviously she saw him, or somehow somebody saw him was standing and praying towards Mecca. But he was lying. Why is it? Why is it it's lawful for Muslims to lie and to deny their faith? That's because Allah taught this in the Quran. In chapter 16, verse 106, listen, my dear brother, listen, my dear sister, to what Allah said in the Quran. Listen, we'll go.
Whoever becomes an infidel in Allah after he believed, except one who was compelled and his heart is secure in faith, but whoever opens his chest to the infidelity, the wrath of Allah will be on them, and they will have great torment.
You can deny your faith as long as your heart, your faith is secure in your heart. You know what, CB, when I think of my Egyptian people, when I think of all the Christian in the Middle East in Muhammad days and until today, who refused to deny Jesus, who refused to deny Christ, and the millions and the millions of Christians who die simply because all what they need to do is say, I'm a Muslim. All what they need to say is, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in Jesus. So a simple word, a simple sentence, if a Christian man said it, or a Christian woman said it, they will live. They will live. But they refuse. Because the Bible teaches in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 9. What? Listen carefully. What did Jesus taught us in the Bible? Chapter 12 in the book of Luke and verse 9. The Bible said,
but he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God.
If we deny Jesus before men, we will literally spend eternity in hell. And that's why Muslims were killing Christians, because Christians refused to deny Jesus. But according to the Quran, chapter 16, verse 106, it is okay. It's okay to deny, as long as your heart is secure in faith. Man, oh man, CB, I'm trying to compare the teaching of Allah in the Quran and the teaching of God in the Bible concerning denying the faith. And it's like hell and heaven, black and white. There's no connection at all.
You know, always when we talk about denying Jesus, you know, people, they will take it, some people, they take it in a negative way. Like, you know, okay, so you deny Jesus, you don't go to heaven. No, it's not like that. It's a lot more than this. You know, because denying Jesus is denying the good of you. Denying the good of this earth, the good of everything. Denying Jesus means you deny to be what Jesus wanted us to be. It's not about just denying a person. You know, when Jesus said, "Love your enemy," this is denying Jesus. If you don't love your enemy, you deny Jesus. So Jesus is not just a person you deny, and then you are denying Jesus. You know, you deny loving others, you are denying Jesus. You deny helping the poor, you are denying Jesus. Yeah, even if you make miracles in the name of Jesus, and you do not do the things he asks you to do, which is based on love. Everything about Christ is based on love. You love people. You do things for the sake of love. If you do that, you are a person who knows Jesus more than the one who go to church. So denying Jesus is not about denying just his name. It is
denying his teaching, denying his belief, denying the doctrine of the Christian faith, anything about Christ.
Absolutely. So people, they have to put in their mind that somebody saying, I accept the Bible, that will not make him go to heaven. Because supposedly accepting the Bible, it means he accept Jesus, accept him as God, accept him as the Son of God, accept him as a master, as a teacher, as a prophet, as a leader, as a Lord, as a Savior. Accept him as everything. Accepting will mean nothing unless you practice what you're accepting. Because accepting it, but you don't want to follow it, so what's the benefit of it? You know, it's like saying I want to join the Salvation Army so I can steal money from them. You know, he joined the Salvation Army, but his target is not to help the poor. His target is to steal. His target is to use them. His target is to make himself look like a good person. So joining, accepting by your mouth is not what Christ is about. In Islam, we see the opposite. In Islam, we see, as an example, Muhammad, he came, a Bedouin came to him, and Osama, he knew the story. He told him, Prophet, if I convert to Islam, I go to heaven? He says, yes. If I say Shahada, I go to heaven? He said, yes. He said, even if I do steal and I commit adultery? Muhammad, he said, yes. And the man repeated again, even I do steal and commit adultery? Muhammad, he said, yes. رغم أنفى أبي الدرداء, which means even if Satan, he don't want you to go, you know. So he is telling him, you can still do those things. You just say Shahada and you go to heaven. So what the benefit, what the benefit of me saying Shahada then? Like what saying Shahada did is just joining a club, getting a card saying I am a Muslim. That's it. You will go to heaven. Even you are killing people, you are stealing, you are doing adultery, you are doing etc. It's okay. So there is a huge difference between what we believe in and what the Muslims believe in. You know, this is why we see in Matthew, Jesus, he said, not everyone say to me, Lord, Lord, but the one who do the will of my Father.
The will of my Father. Amen.
Yeah. Go and see Lord, Lord, like those filthy priests who was doing child molestation. They will be the first to go to hell. They will be the first to go to hell. They will burn in hell. So saying Lord all day long will not make you better than anyone. It's doing what the Lord
is. Yeah, absolutely. Christianity is a way of life. It's not saying stuff and doing stuff. It is a way of life that you believe and you practice what is written in the scripture. That's what is Christianity. And we all make mistakes. We all fall. And we all come back. When we come back to God, that's when He continue to forgive us. He said, if we say we have not sinned, we have lied, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just. He forgives our sin, and He brings His righteousness to us. And that's the only way we can have by. So we will live to believe and to practice what we believe. And that is Christianity, a way of life. Not just say the Shahada. You can say, I believe in Jesus. You can say, He's my Lord. Yeah, Lord, Lord. And He said, what? Away from me, you evildoers. I don't know you. So He will not know us unless we practice and we do the will of the Father in heaven. Amen. This is wonderful. It is lawful in Islam to swear. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, and most of you know that my daddy was a preacher. And all my friends in school, in Egypt, they say, Wallahi. What is Wallahi? By Allah. They swear by Allah. Or Wahyat Baba, by the life of my father, or by the life of my mother, or by the life of somebody important, and I could not say that. I could not swear because my father taught me never to swear by anything in heaven, not by anything on earth, not under the earth, because that's what the Bible teaches. And we're going to read this in the book of Matthew in a minute. Well, I remember when I was a kid, maybe 11, 12 years old, and my teacher accused me of stealing the thing you make a circle with. One end is sharp, and the other end is you put a pencil to make a circle with. I don't know what you call it. It's something we use in school to make a circle. And I told my teacher, no, I did not steal it. And he opened my bag, and he said, I said, no, that's mine. I bought this one. He said, swear. I said, what do you mean? He said, swear by Allah it is yours. I said, no, I don't swear. He said, then you are a liar. And he literally slapped me in my face. And in Egypt, they can do that. I know when you hear this in America, you think that's abuse. No, in Egypt, that's normal. He slapped me in my face by accusing me of lying. And all I did is I cried. And I cried and I cried for a half hour because how my teacher accused me of stealing something, it's mine, in my bag. But guess what? In the end of the class, my teacher, as he removed his books from the desk, his was under his books. And he came back to me and he apologized to me. And he said, why did you swear? If it was yours, why did you swear? I said, sir, because swearing is sin. It is equal to lying. It's equal to stealing. And I will not swear. And he could not understand this. His name is Mr. Muhammad. He could not understand that Christians do not swear. Because guess what? The Quran teach. It is lawful to swear. And if you read the Quran, Allah in the Quran is swearing by everything. It is the opposite of the teaching of the Bible. Why is the Bible saying don't swear? By anything in heaven or on earth or on other earth, that's what Allah did in the Quran. In chapter 89 in the Quran, for example, in chapter 89 in the Quran, verses 1 to 5, listen to what Allah swear by. That's Allah. Allah said, I swear. Not Muhammad or people, that Allah himself is swearing. The God of the Bible said, thou shalt not swear. And the God of Muhammad, Allah, is swearing. Chapter 89 in the Quran, verses 1 and 5. And I hope you guys are taking notes of what we're talking about. And I always say, I don't want you just to be listening. I want you to study what we're teaching here. Investigate it. Make sure we're not doing what we call baloney teaching. You investigate, examine what we're teaching, and if it's true, you need to believe in it and share it with others. So here is what Allah said in chapter 89 in the Quran, verses 1 to 5.
I swear by the dawn, and by the ten nights, and by the even and the odd, and by night when it departs. Is there not an oath in this to one who possesses a stone?
Allah swearing by the dawn? What is this to swear by the dawn? Allah swears by the ten nights. What ten nights? You see, here's what we call the dumb sentence of the Quran, the dumb poetry of the Quran. وَالْفَجْرُ وَلَيَالِ عَشْرٍ وَالْشَفْعَ وَالْوَطْرِ. It's poetry. It's just setting some words in Arabic with no point. What is that? And he said, this is an oath to those who possess a stone, which means it's really a strong belief, a hard-headed here. It is just, I'm trying to understand why Allah swear in the Quran. I mean, if God will swear, will he swear by something less important than who he is? When we swear by the most important. We put our hand on the Bible and we swear by the Bible. But will I swear by dirt? Will I swear by some rock, piece of rock? Will I swear by some numbers, by some date? No, God in the Bible, he swear by himself because he is the greatest. But you see in the Quran, Allah swearing by what? Every ridiculous thing. So, what does the Bible teach? In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 34 to verse 37. And it's amazing. Muslim will tell you, we believe in Jesus. We believe in the teaching of Jesus. We believe in the gospel of Jesus. Really? Well, here's what Jesus taught us in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 34 to verse 37. Is that what Muslims believe? Listen to what Jesus said, what Jesus taught us in the Bible concerning swearing.
But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be, yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil.
Did you hear what the Bible said? You don't swear by anything. Not heaven, not earth, not under the earth. You don't even swear by your own head. You cannot change one hair in your head from black to white or from white to black. So how can you swear by your head? And he said, well, it's very important. Let your communication, let your talk be yes, yes, no, no. Why? For anything come after that, anything more than that, comes of evil. Do you guys understand what we're talking about here? The Quran is evil. Allah in the Quran is swearing by everything which the God of the Bible said not to swear by. That means anything over this swearing is evil. Go ahead, CB.
You know, when somebody swear, and that body is God, so swearing is about swearing by something greater than you.
Yeah.
Something very great for you, at least. Now, God is swearing by a cow. What does that mean?
Cow is greater than Allah.
Yeah, what does that mean? Like what? God is worshipping a cow? Like, you are the creator of the cow, you idiot. What a big deal. You say a cow, the cow will be there. You know? So when God, he swear by the fig, it's a fig. It's just a stupid fig. What a big deal about the fig? You know? Why Allah don't swear by, a rat? Rat? You know, a dog? Here, you get us a dog. You know, what is that? Why God want to swear by those stuff? You know, swearing by things you created is something really funny and stupid, especially, like, he did not swear by the galaxy. He did not swear by, like, something really can be amazing. you know, a little fig. Which fig? Which one? You know, I swear by the fig. What fig? And why specifically the fig? Like did the scientists found that the fig is amazing fruit? You know, like is there something unique about the fig? Why does God assure him the fig? And you know, and the fig on Torah Sinin, like I don't wanna go out of the verses you are quoting for us, but when somebody always swear, number one, he's trying to prove a point. And you swearing to me by the fig, you will not prove to me a point. You will make me laugh at you. Like imagine Osama, we and you will go to court. Okay, I'm against you now. The judge, he said to me, you are against Osama. You accuse him that he ate your fig. Swear. No, I swear by the fig, he ate my fig. The judge will laugh. What swear by the fig, you idiot? Who is going to accept you swearing by fig?
The judge will literally throw you out of the court. They will throw you out of the court.
Imagine in the court of law, in the Islamic law, we go into the court and we find a dish of fig. Everybody want to be witness. He put his hand on the top of the fig. He say, I swear by the fig and the banana. I swear. What is that, man? Since when is swearing by the fig proving you to be not?
It's not acceptable even in Islamic law. In Sharia, you have to swear on the Quran, not on a fig or a dish of fig.
So if Muslims cannot swear in the fig, how Allah swear by the fig then? If Muslims, fig is not great for them. How fig can be great for Allah?
I don't understand. And why just fig? I mean, why not watermelon? Can Muslims swear by watermelon? Allah swear by...
Please don't go there. Watermelon, they are a special case. Because watermelon, they are females. And Muslims, they have sex with them. You know, there's many stories about... There's a fatwa about Muslim men. They can have sex with watermelon. And actually... There's a website I should give you, Osama. It's called Answering Ansar. In that website, they are asking serious questions about having sex with watermelon. And the Muslim, he was asking, do we need witnesses to have sex with watermelon doing muta? Or we can do it without witnessing, like to have two witnesses. Is that lawful? Is that halal? That this watermelon, it was a kind of which is bad, used to go and to be around with many guys, you know? There's a lot of funny stories, and there are serious questions. Actually, you know what? I'm going to post the link for those who seen, because there's Muslims in the room. They are saying to me, you are a liar. That's what they are saying to me. Yeah, they are saying to me, you are a liar. Here we go. This is answering, the website is answeringansar.org. I will post it in the chat room in Paltalk, and I will post it in the radio chat room too. Here we go. Anyone want to open or read? You can go and read.
Okay, well, while you're doing this, Sibi, I would like to move on to the next very important point here. Not only Allah allowed Muslims to swear by such ridiculous things, or Allah himself is swearing by such ridiculous things, fruit and vegetables and mountains and dates and whatever they can imagine what they do with. Allah in the Quran made it lawful for Muslims to lie in the swearing. Can you imagine that? It is lawful to lie in your swearing. Not only you swear to tell the truth, but you swear to lie. Here we go. In chapter 2 in the Quran, verse 225. Chapter 2, verse 225. And if the Muslims think we're lying, please come to the mic, call us. We're begging Muslims to call us. It's been 6 months. We're still waiting for some Muslims to call us. I don't know when they're going to call. Is it 2050? Maybe there will not be like then on earth. But chapter 2, verse 225. Listen what Allah said in the Quran.
Allah will not hold you responsible for your mere utterance in an oath, but He will hold you responsible for that which your hearts gained. And Allah is forgiving, forbearing.
Did you hear what the verse says? I will play it one more time for those who did not listen to it. In chapter 2 in the Quran, and verse 225, Allah said,
Allah will not hold you responsible for your mere utterance in an oath, but He will hold you responsible for that which your hearts gained. And Allah is forgiving, forbearing.
I believe, CB, every time Allah in the Quran used the word Allah is forgiving, merciful, Allah is forgiving, forbearing, Allah is forgiving, whatever other word Muhammad put next to it, there is a sin before it. So Allah said here, He will not hold you responsible for your mere utterance of oath. for your unintentional oath. Did you mean it? When you raised up your right hand and you said, I swear by Allah, or I swear on the Quran, or I swear by the fig, or I swear by some palm tree or some mountain somewhere, when you swear, did you mean it in your heart? If you said no, therefore it's not a sin. But if you mean it and you lie, then it is a sin. How do you love Islam to be such a way of life that Muslims can lie in their swearing? As long as they don't mean it, that's fine. Remember, this reminds me of this guy in New York, the New York bomber in the square there. The judge lady asked him over a year ago now, she said, didn't you just swear last year and give allegiance to America and give allegiance to the United States of America, to the law of the land, when you became a citizen? You know what the guy told her? He said, I said it, but I did not mint it. He said, he swear to protect, to love America, to live, to honor this country and respect this country, but he didn't mean it. And since he did not mint it, it was okay for him to lie, even as he swear and become a citizen. I believe deep in my heart, CB, all Muslims who became a citizen in America the last 40, 50 years, all of them, their allegiance is number one to Allah, number two to Muhammad, number three to Islam, number four to the Muslim country, number five to the Muslim neighbor country. Therefore, they do not mean what they do when they swear to America, and therefore they should not be a citizen in the United States of America at all.
Yeah, you know, first of all, you know, Osama, as you said, he is going to forgive them, but in the same time, he will not take them accountable for taking a false oath. If we analyze this first, it means that the God of Islam is encouraging Muslims to take false oath. And that proves that Muslims are a bunch of liars when they say that we are not allowed to lie. Because if oath using the name of God falsely is allowed, so what is left? What is left for anyone to do? If I can take and use the name of God, lying, swearing, to prove a point, what is left? Nothing. And in the same time, as you said, Allah is all merciful. Merciful for what? If you are saying to them, it's okay. You know, when you are saying to them, it's okay, it means there is no need for mercy because simply it's allowed. How you want to forgive somebody when he is obeying the law? You are forgiving him for what? But that because Muhammad, he understands that what he is creating is a stupid filth. It still is not convincing just to say it's okay. So he had to say at the end that Allah is all merciful, which means it's okay and Allah is more merciful, which means do it, don't worry.
Yeah. You're not gonna be punished for such a sin. And that's what Muhammad taught the Muslim in general, all Muslims, according to the hadith in in Musnad Ahmad, hadith number 26,315.
It's hard to hear you. Can you maybe cut my
voice from the computer, CB?
No,
His voice is fine. Okay. Hadith number 26,315. Listen, guys, what Muhammad taught the Muslim. And that's in every day of life. In every day of life. Muhammad said what? Listen carefully. Here we go.
Muhammad said, it is lawful to lie in three cases. A man to his wife that she will be pleased with him, or at a time of war, because war is deception, or to make peace between people.
A man can lie to his wife every day, 24 hours a day. Imagine many scenarios, a man talking to his wife, and he lied to her all day long, and it is lawful. Muhammad is telling us in this hadith that it is lawful for a man to lie to his wife. And it's lawful for men to lie, to lie in time of war, which, by the way, is coming up in a minute here, that Muhammad is teaching Muslims to go and fight all their life. And it's lawful to make peace between people. And obviously he meant here the Muslim people, not to make peace between Christian and Jew, because Allah and Muhammad in the Quran, in the Hadith, all over the Islamic sources, never taught Muslim to lean towards peace or to run towards peace, unless they have weak, if they are weak in the land and they do not have the upper hand. Temporary peace, taqiyya peace. But how do you feel, Christy, as a female? How do you feel if you're married to a husband and you know that your prophet, the best man who ever lived and walked on earth, teach your husband it's okay to lawful to it is okay and it is lawful to lie to you 24/7, 365 days a year?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I think this goes against everything that would make a marriage work, but one of our chat room guests says, lying to one's wife is very dangerous, especially if she has a cast iron frying pan. So, yeah, this doesn't sound like a good marriage relationship. It's terrible. But I need to get the Hadith number from you again. I didn't quite get it. And the Quran.
Musnad Ahmed. That's wonderful. Musnad Ahmed and Hadith number 26,315. Musnad Ahmed, Hadith number 26315. 26,315. Here we go. Muhammad make thousands and thousands of hadiths. Lord have mercy. Anyway, so that's what we learn from Islam, guys. That's what we learn from Muhammad. That's what we learn from the Quran. It's okay.
And the Quran
it is
verse,
lawful.
The Quran verse. Yeah, the Quran,
the Quran
verse.
Verses, before that, we cover many verses. Number chapter 2.
It's the one
verse,
before that.
Yeah. 225, chapter 2, which is the book of Tao, and verse 225. It's okay to lie. Here's Christian Prince. He said, so it is the book of Tao, chapter 2, and verse 225. But the very important second piece in this hadith of Musnad Ahmed, that it is lawful to lie in time of war. Well, guess what Muhammad wants Muslims to do? Another moral mistake, and I'll play the verse and let Christian Prince talk a little bit about this verse. So, good. Are you ready, CB?
I'm always ready. For what?
For this. For the following verse. And we're talking about over 300 verses in the Quran teach the same thing. It is lawful to lie in time of war. And guess what Allah commanded Muhammad to do? Chapter 8 and verse 65. I will play it twice so CB can listen to it twice so he can talk to you a little bit about how lawful it is in Islam to kill. Here we go. Chapter 8 and verse 65 in the Quran.
O you prophet, provoke the believers to engage in war. If there will be 20 patient ones of you, they will have victory over 200.
One more time. Allah is teaching Muhammad a good lesson here. And Muhammad is going to teach it to all the believers after him. In chapter 8 and verse 65, Allah said,
O you prophet, provoke the believers to engage in war. If there will be 20 patient ones of you, they will have victory over 200.
Go ahead, CB.
Well, you know, this verse actually always... If you read it in here, because there's two verses, you know, this one and the verse after 66.
Yeah.
Both give us a very clear proof about who is Muhammad. We will see in this verse in here, Muhammad is encouraging Muslims to go and kill others, and he is trying to brainwash them, make them believe that 20 of you can fight 200, and that means that everyone can kill 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which means the percentage is 1 to 10.
Absolutely.
Now, Muslims could not make it in the war. You know, they find out that this is a big fat lie. It's impossible. How a person can kill?
Maybe a person can kill one or two, but not 10. And it's a big, big exaggeration here. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. So when they came back and they lost, Muhammad, he had to fix his mistake. And look what he said in the verse after. He said, now, Allah, now, he found a weakness on you, and he enlightened your task. So, wait, you know, Allah, he found a weakness on you, and now he lightened your task. So why Allah did not lighten your task from the first verse? Why he made it 1 to 10, and now what happened to make it 1 to 2? You know, because there's a huge difference, a huge change from 1 to 10 to 1 to 2. You know, there is a big mistake in calculating numbers in here. You know, first of all, if God, he said to somebody, you alone, you will fight and you will wait. You know, let us say the whole world is going to fight me. Hmm. Let us say the prophet Daniel or the prophet Isaiah or whatever. God promised him to have victory against the army of China, and which is like more than 1 billion human beings. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Still, Ezekiel, he's going to win, because if God says so, that's it.
And absolutely.
It is not the power of
and
God.
By the way, CB, by the way, as we read the history of the Old Testament, and so many fights has been led by the Jewish people, they won it without any swords. They won it without. I mean, remember when they went around Jericho? I mean, there are few Jewish going around the city of Jericho, and all they do is walk around the city one day, walk the following day, walk the sixth day. On the 7 days, they walk 6 times quietly. All this walking around the city with a huge fence, with a huge defense, with a strong people walking quietly, to the point that people were looking at the Jewish people and laughing. How dumb these people are. And guess what they did in the 7th time on the 6 days? They shouted, hey, hey, and guess what happened? The fence fell down, and they took over the city. So, remember Gideon? 300 people without a sword, and they took over the city. So, it is, if God said in the Bible, you will take the land, they will take the land. It doesn't matter how big is the enemy. It doesn't matter how strong is the enemy. But Allah in the Quran, he said, if one of you will take over 10, and they lost. Then Allah said, oh, it was not really my fault. It's because weakness in your heart. Then guess what? We're going to give you a new number. And what is the new number? 1 for every 2. Isn't that wonderful, CB?
There's a Muslim in my room. You should see what I have in my room, Osama. I have tons of Muslims. A lot of Abduds. A lot of Abduds. I don't know why they don't call us. But
maybe they need the number. Did we give them the number lately? Should we give them the number?
Yeah, you know, I'm posting the numbers, actually. Here we go. The number is 347-857-1380. If any Abdul dare to call, please, show us how good your prophet. Prove us wrong. Why do you keep calling us?
347-857-1380. And if they call us and they give Christy their address, I will send them a DVD as a gift for free. A free DVD will be shipped tomorrow morning. No kidding. A free DVD for any Muslim who will call us right now. Go ahead,
and
TV.
Not only that. If any Muslim, he call us, I will call Allah for him and speak to him in Arabic. Because I know Muslims, they speak to Allah in their own language. You don't understand. I am an Arab. I speak Arabic. I can tell Allah, your God, whatever you want, just tell me. You want falafel, I will tell him you need falafel. You want to get married, I will tell him you need to get married. Don't worry about it. At least you will get what you want. Finally, somebody, he understands Arabic, he can speak to your God. And in the same time, when Muslims in the chat room, they say, you are lying. I don't know what we are lying about. We are giving the verse number. We are giving the chapter number. We are reading it. And we are reading reading your translation. But, you know, what do you want more? Where is the lie? Where is the lie? Chapter 8, verse number 65, verse number 66. Allah told them, 1 against 10. Then Allah told them 1 against 2. Question: why? Why? If one can do it against 10, like Allah is enlightening your task. Is that a task to do, or it's a gift from God? Is that a power given from God, or this is the power of the Muslims? Because if it's the power of the Muslim they will be able to do it anyway. If it's a power from God, the Muslim they should be do it anyway too. You know what I mean, Osama? So what's the problem?
Absolutely.
It can't be either way. There is something wrong in the story in here. If I am stronger than 10 guys, okay, I am stronger than 10 guys. You do not even need to tell me. I will beat them, I will win. So So while you are enlightening my task and saying, I found a weakness on you, why Allah did not discover the weakness from the beginning?
It was new news.
You know, when you go to take your car to those mechanic these days, not like old days, they hook up the car with a computer. So maybe Allah at that time, he didn't have that computer, so he could not find the weakness, you know?
God is God, he should know everything. God does not need a scanner to figure out what's wrong in the engine, what's wrong in the motor. Anyway, it's a sorrow. For Allah said, O you Prophet, provoke the believers to engage in war. Ya ayyuha nabiyya harruk al-mu'mineen ala al-qital. Don't you love that? Don't you love that Allah in the Quran asked Muhammad to provoke the believers to engage in war, to kill? What does the Bible say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and verse 22? Matthew 5. Guys, Muslim, those who are listening, learn something from the Master Jesus, from our Lord and our Savior. Learn something from the teaching of the Bible, the Holy Bible, and compare it to your Quran. For heaven's sake, how long are you going to be living without having a clue what does the Bible teach and being ignorant of your own Quran? I mean, the Quran very clearly, chapter 865, O you prophets, provoke the believers to engage in war. Okay? Now, let's listen to the Bible. What does Jesus taught us Christians to live? How Christians should live? Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and verse 22. Listen carefully to the Holy Bible.
Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rasha, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire.
You see the difference? I mean, do you see the difference between Jesus teaching and Muhammad teaching? When Muhammad is commanding by Allah, which I believe Satan, who desires not but anything but to kill and to destroy and to steal, to provoke the believer. Notice, guys, he did not say provoke the extremist. For the dumb idiot Democrat and the liberal American who does not believe we're in war with Islam, this sick society who is destroying this country because of political correctness, the Bible is the opposite teaching of the Quran. And the Quran teach Muhammad to provoke the believers, not the extremists, not the Islamofascism, the good Muslims, the believers, to do what? To engage in war. But the Bible tells us, Jesus says, you get angry at your brother without a cause, you literally deserve the judgment. You tell your brother a fool, you have sinned against him, and you deserve the hell fire just for calling your brother a fool. And Muhammad commanding the believers to kill. Man, what the difference between the teaching of Jesus and the teaching of Muhammad, between the teaching of the Holy Bible and the teaching of the satanic demonic Quran. What a huge difference. Go ahead, CB.
You know, always there's two sides of the story. There's our side of the story, which we are seeing it as a Christian, and there's a side of the story of the Muslims. So when we ask the Muslims about their side of the story, the Muslim, they will see it in a different way. You know, the Muslim, they will see deceiving is good because supposedly the target, according to them, is a good target.
Mm.
And that itself proves that Islam is really weird, because how you can see the bad good because you claim that your target is good. As an example, I can say, I want to have a child, and that is good, but I don't have a wife. So I'm going to kidnap a woman, rape her, and get my child. You know what I mean? What is the good in that? How that can be good? I can say, I am going to go and attack a jewelry store and take the money and steal the money from that jewelry store and donate some of it for the poor. But, you know, come on, like, you are a thief. Like, what kind of, you know, this is like, so or saying, I am a good guy, and there is something I need to do to be a good guy. How I can do that? By kidnapping, by raping, by killing the one who don't like the good ones. You know, what kind of good that good? Like, imagine I am, as a Christian, say that the one who don't accept Christ, we can go and kill them. What is the good of you? You know, how you are trying to convince people that you are a good person. In the same time, you are telling me you want to do every evil, and that is legitimate for you. So we have to understand that Muslims, they see things in different way. And for them, what is good for them is ugly for us. And what is ugly for us is good for them. And this is my advice to people always when we speak about Islam. If a Muslim says to you, we are against adultery, listen carefully. Adultery in Islam is not adultery in Christianity. In Islam, a Muslim man, he can take a married woman to his bed. He can kiss her. He can touch her everywhere. That is not adultery. This is in the Quran. It's called liman. It's okay. It's not even a sin. It's called a fault, small fault. In Christianity, this is an adultery. So when we speak about adultery, we don't have the same value. When we speak about theft, in Christianity, stealing the money of anyone. You know, isn't it true that in the Old Testament, Osama, the Bible says, if you find the cow of your enemy, you return it back to them?
Does it say that?
Absolutely. This is your enemy. He is your enemy. Imagine, he is your enemy.
You have a war with him. It doesn't matter who is the owner of the cow, your enemy or your neighbor. You have to turn it back to them.
Yeah. So he is your enemy, and still you give him his cow back. In Islam, it is the opposite. You attack them, and you steal from them, and you kidnap from them, and you kidnap their daughters, you kidnap their money, you do everything. So
You're a liar, CB. You're not telling the truth. You're making it up. Let me give you the verses of the Quran to prove the point of CB. In chapter 8 in the Quran, I'm going to give you two verses to show, because I guarantee you some Muslim right now in the room, they're calling you a liar. You're a liar, CB. Here, let's learn from the Quran. Is it lawful to steal or not? And I'm going to give you two verses, okay? First one is chapter 8, verse 41. And I'll let CB talk a little bit more after we play these two verses. So you see how loving the Quran is, how holy the Quran is. They call it the Holy Quran, and I say it is a sin. It is a sin for a man to use the word holy and the word Quran in one sentence. Unless you put the word un before it. You can say the unholy Quran. But to call this a holy book, that's sin. That's a lie. Why? Because unless you punch a hole in every copy of the Quran, you cannot call it a holy. Then you'll be a liar because it is unholy. Listen to the moral error, the moral mistakes in the Quran concerning stealing. Chapter 8 in the Quran and verse 60, I'm sorry, and verse 41. 8:41. Listen to what Allah said.
And know that whatever you take of spoil of anything, so a fifth part to Allah and to the Messenger.
When you take a spoil of anything, a spoil of children, a spoil of female, a spoil of camel, a spoil of gold, a spoil of money, anything, one-fifth go to Allah and the Messenger and the poor people and the neighborhood of the poor people. Huh? Huh. Where does the spoil come from? CB, help me out, my brother. When we say the word spoil, what is the spoil? Is this like somebody go out and work hard and sell and buy stuff, or farming a ground, farming a land? What is the spoil, CB? Help me out. Explain to the Muslim wonderful we have in our chat room right now. What is the spoil?
You know, we need to remember that Muslims and Islam divide people to two kind of people. There's two land, not only people. There's the land of peace, and there's the land of war, harb, you know. So the land of harb is the one which is the land of war, which means any land is not under the control of Islamic law, not controlled by Muslims, not only Islamic law, which means Muslims have to be ruling you. Any of that is lawful for the Muslim to take their money, their blood, their women, their children. It's free. So doing that, simply, it's giving an open license for Muslims to do whatever they want. They can go and they can jump to your house. They can take everything, and a Muslim, he will not feel guilty for a second. This is what we are, what Osama is talking about. So this is why, you know, for me, I don't trust Muslims, and I will never trust Muslims. And I say it like I'm saying it in radio, not based on hating other people, no, based in knowing what Islam is about. A Muslim, he's allowed to kidnap my wife, to rape my child, to steal my TV, to steal my money, to burn my house. So how I can trust him? He will not even feel guilty for a second. You know, not even for a second. You know, once Osama, I was looking for a car. I want to buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
The car dealer, you know, he's Pakistani. Mm-hmm. Now, we went in the car, and because you know they allow you to have a test drive for the car before you buy it. So he was with me, and I'm driving the car. I got a phone call, and because I told somebody to, you know, to check the car for me, to give me the history report. So he was speaking to me, and we spoke in Arabic. So he said, "Oh, you speak Arabic?" I said, "Yeah, hey, brother, Allahu Akbar, you know, they're good to you." He thought I'm a Muslim. And he opened his radio station, man. He opened his radio station telling me how much he hates America, how much filthy the American, how disgusting pigs they are, how filthy donkeys, animals they are. And, you know, I was listening. And after I'm, you know, like, because I want to hear more. I don't want to shock him, tell him, I am an Arab Christian, you idiot. After he finished all of this, and this was just right after 9/11, you know, I told him, by the way, I am an Arab, but I am a Christian. And let me tell you something. A shoe of an American is better than all the Muslims in the world, because at least they are honest people. They are not like you. You are giving me a hug before we go in the car, saying, hey, how are you doing, etc., and being nice to me, lying to me. The second you thought I'm a Muslim, you start saying to me that all Americans are filthy. A second ago, you were saying me the car as an American. Now, you are telling me all bad stories about Americans. So why are you living in USA? I did talk to his manager. You know, his manager was a Pakistani too. You know,
yeah.
I want to complain to the manager. I found that the manager is a donkey like him. You know, he is the same guy, the same equality. He said, and they deny. He said, no, I never said that. In front of his manager, he said, I never said that to him. He's lying. You know?
Yeah.
Because he was not. Yeah. So in front of each other, they show how much hate they have to others. So what people maybe don't believe us, or the reason people don't believe us, most of them, because when they see a Pakistani guy the same as I met, they are very friendly. They are like, he's a car dealer. He is nice. He is explaining to you the car. He is, you know, is trying to sell to make money, like everybody, which is good. But they will not know what those people, they speak between each other. You want to know what a Muslim, he think about you? Try to see a Muslim speaking to a Muslim, not a Muslim speaking to you. He will not tell you what he think about you.
Yes, that is Islam. That is result of the teaching of the Quran, the result of the teaching of Muhammad. They are living it even 1,400 years later. They are not changing. They will never change. So, but don't worry, CB, because Allah is forgiving, merciful. Allah is forgiving, merciful. And that's the beauty of Allah. That's the beauty of Islam. So let me show you here the proof of the second verse, that it is lawful to steal, because Allah is forgiving, merciful. Chapter 8 and verse 6-9. So in chapter 8, verse 41, said what? You get of the spoil, 20% of the spoil. 20% of the spoil, CB. My voice is echoing again.
Mm-hmm.
20, that's better now. 20% of the spoil go to Allah and Muhammad. That's chapter 8 and verse 41. Now, let's move to chapter 8 and verse 69. And listen what Allah said concerning the stealing.
So eat of the spoils you have taken lawfully and good, and fear Allah. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful.
Eat the spoil which you have taken. You killed the Christian, you killed the Jew, you took their money, you took their women, you took their children, you took their camels, He took their homes, he took their land, he terrorized them, as it is written in chapter 26, verse 27. Chapter 33, verse 26 and 27. Now what you do? Eat it. It is lawful and good. Why? And then he said, and fear Allah. Why? Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. Fear Allah means what? You give Allah his part. Fear Allah means what? You give Allah and Muhammad 20%. And concerning the killing of this innocent Christian and Jew and stealing their money and all this lawful spoil you got, don't worry about it. Allah is forgiving, merciful. Allah will forgive you. Allah will His mercy will cover you. Just keep killing Christians, keep killing Jews, taking their stuff and eat it. But just don't forget, give Allah and Muhammad 20%, one-fifth of the spoil, and then Allah is forgiven, merciful. This is stand against the teaching of the Bible. 100% the opposite of the teaching of the Bible. When the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, and when the Bible says what? Thou shalt not steal. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 15. The Bible clearly said, thou shalt not steal. And that is exactly the opposite of what Muhammad and his Muslim did years and years ago. And until today, if they can, if the Muslim in Egypt right now can kill the last Christian to take their homes and land and money and land and everything, they will do it without any hesitation. Why? Because they are practicing the teaching of Allah. As I said earlier, CB, the moral issue in life, what is unmoral for Christian, it is the moral thing for Muslim. And if it is lying, if it is stealing, if it is killing, or whatever, anything else come from the teaching of Allah in the Quran. What do you say, CB?
You know, I was watching the news about what's happening in Syria. And I saw we have videos actually. We can show people this is just happening just the last week. How the Muslim Sunni attack the Muslim Alawi, and they are Alawi. They are Muslims. Those are not Christians. Those are people who say Shahada just because they are from different sects. Look what they did to them. They cut their throat. They took their watches, their clothes, their wallets. And they put them in a truck and they dump them in a river as if they are a bunch of animals.
CB, in America, we don't dump a dog or a donkey or a cow or any animals in the water. Even dogs and cats bury with respect in America. So I don't know when you see like animals, that's insulting to the animals of America. You know that.
You know what I mean exactly. Like you are right. Animals in America have more rights than a human being in Islam. But if those are willing to do this to their own people, you know, they are from the same culture. They are from the same land. They are not immigrants. They are not coming from different country. They are from the same people just because, and they are Muslims, just because they are from different sects. What they are willing to do to someone he is not from them. And all of this is legal for them. It is logical. It's legal. They don't feel guilt. And you will see all in the media, in the Islamic website, all of them, they are like, you will see like when somebody posts a video, the Muslim comments, they are praising Allah, Allahu Akbar, that's great, Allahu Akbar, may Allah bless you, brother, for killing them. May Allah, you know, you don't see one Muslim saying shame on you. You know, they are happy for this. Like, how a human being, like what Satan he did to us in this earth, to the point we dance for the death of people, to the point we have party if somebody slaughters somebody.
And I can imagine, CB, I can imagine Muslims do this in America to the American. Like after September 11, Muslims celebrate in America the death of 3,000 Americans. But why in the world they do this, celebrate this in their own country for their own people?
You know, this is how it is. You know, I believe that God there is Satan. God there is Satan because the happiness of Satan to see bloodshed in this earth, to see people, they are hating each other, as we see in the Quran. In chapter 5, verse 14, Allah, He said that from those who call themselves Christians, we took covenant with them and they forgot a big part of it. So we are going to strengthen them with hate and enmity one to each other. Does God, the God of Islam, is saying clearly what his plan is? His plan is to spread hate between who? Between the Christians, which means he is targeting the Christians before anyone else. Then we need to ask ourselves, why the Christians? Why Allah is not targeting the Hindus? Why Allah is not targeting the Buddha? Why only the Christians? They are the biggest enemy to Allah.
Because Allah is Satan, and that's what Satan wants, CB.
Absolutely. And to prove that, Osama, Muslims themselves, they believe that Satan is the Antichrist. And when we speak about the Antichrist, that name alone proving who is the right one. Why Satan, he decided to be the Antichrist but not anti-Muhammad? Isn't it a good question? Why Satan decide to be Antichrist? If Muhammad is the greatest prophet, if Muhammad is the only one who have correct scriptures and the others are corrupted, scriptures at least, if Muhammad is the greatest prophet in this earth, the most beloved man to
be
Allah.
Antichrist, but not anti-Muhammad.
So why somebody...
Isn't it a good question? Why
Satan... Oh, somebody took the mic in my room in here. Okay. So why somebody simply... is going to do such a thing. He's going to call himself, and he's Satan, he's going to call himself Antichrist. Simply, the name is clear that the biggest enemy is a Christ, and who is going to follow Christ? So I'm going to destroy the Church of Christ. I'm going to fight the Church of Christ, and the Church of Christ is the follower of Christ. So Allah saying in chapter 5, verse 14, I'm going to spread the hate between them. This is why I say to the Christians, from all schools, from all churches, don't be people who hate each other, because if you hate each other, you are no Christian. This is a warning for you Christians. I see many, like, they are so glad to fight between Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, etc., etc. You know what? If one of us is wrong in what he believe in, let us see what he believe in as right before what we see as wrong. If somebody have a picture in the church, this is not really, really important. What is important that he believe in Christ as God. Believe that Christ is a Savior. Believe Christ, he was crucified. Believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Believe that salvation is by Christ alone. Believe in that Mary, she was virgin. Believe that the Word of God became a man. If he believe that all of those, what is left? Who cares what the church he go to? Let us be united.
Amen.
So sin... Satan cannot take us down.
Absolutely. And don't forget, CB, the marker for the believer, the marker for the true Christian, as Jesus taught us so many times, by this the world will know that you are my disciple. If what? If you love one another. And Jesus taught us so many times, this is a command I give to you, to love one another. By this we can have victory over sin. By this we have victory over Satan. By this we will glorify Christ and his name in our life. How? By loving one another. That's the only thing we should do as Christians. And I praise God for Christianity has been known all over the Middle East. Even so, with the hardship and the persecution the Christians have been meeting for all this 1400 years. Still, until I was in Egypt, 20 years ago when I left Egypt, my Muslim neighbor used to tell me, you Christian people love each other. I wish we Muslims love each other like you. Oh, I said, you know what? That's the mark of the Christian believer. If you see a Christian by the name John or Paul or Thomas or whatever Christian name is, and he or she does not love everybody around them, that means they're not a Christian. It's not talk, as we said earlier in our broadcast tonight. It is a walk. It is a way of life. That's what makes Christian a Christian. Christy, we did not forget about you. Christy, are you still alive? You're still breathing? Are you still in the room? What's going on, Christy? Hello?
Hello?
Are you still there?
No, I am here, but I'm trying to get on here again to talk to you. Sometimes I mute my thing so I don't disrupt you guys. We're talking in the chat room about just how serious this is, and I appreciate what you're sharing. We have a really great group in our chat room. They're very interested in what we're talking about and getting the verses written down. And you know, we're talking about how if we don't reach the Muslims, because there is no hope for them in Islam. It isn't like you can become a better Muslim and it's going to make your life good. The better you become a Muslim, the worse it'll be. So we're trying to reach Muslims for Christ. You know, they're lost.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Well, I'm going to share a couple more verses with for tonight, and then we're going to call it off. Obviously, there's only 19 minutes left, believe it or not. Time fly. Anyway, here is a verse of the Quran which is really fit what we were talking about, CB, a minute ago, the revenge in Islam. They will kill each other just to revenge. And where does the revenge come from? It comes from the Quran. So many verses in the Quran talking about revenge, retaliation in the case of murder, in the case of murder. A free man for a free man, a slave for a slave, and a female for a female. And we used this verse before. But here's another one, new one. Chapter 2, verse 194. That is Allah's word in the Quran, guys. This is a moral mistake. If Allah of Muhammad is God, he will never, let me say it again. If Allah is God, he will never, never write such barbaric teaching in the Quran. And what the Quran teach in chapter 2, verse 194. Listen to the word of Allah of the Quran concerning revenge.
The forbidden month for the forbidden month, and all the forbidden things are retaliation. So whoever commits transgression against you, so transgress against him, similar to how he transgressed against you. And fear Allah, and know that Allah is with the fearer.
Fear Allah? By what? By you transgress against anybody who transgress against you, similar. He killed one of your children, you kill one of their children. They kill your wife, you kill his wife. He killed one of your slaves, you kill one of his slaves. Retaliation, revenge. Revenge is lawful in Islam. And that's the teaching of Satan, guys. This is not the God of the Bible. Absolutely not. Why? How do I know? How do I know that this teaching is not the teaching of it is not the teaching of the God of the Bible, but the teaching of Satan? Because I read the Bible. And I hope and I pray my Muslim friends who listen to us right now, and those who will listen to us in the future, the next 2 months, as they go back and listen to this broadcast, listen carefully to the teaching of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 38, and verse 39, and verse 40, and 41, and 42, and 43, and 44. Read the whole book of Matthew, for heaven's sake. The Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, and 6, and 7, is the greatest teaching. But listen carefully to what Jesus taught us in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 38. 244. Listen, here it is, the word of God.
Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man shall sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you.
Have you ever read anything like this in the Quran anywhere in CB? Like, God says, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you. Can any Muslim who listen to us right now, call us right now? I mean, I want one Muslim, just one Muslim to call us and tell me, where in the Quran I can find a verse, teach to love your enemy, to bless those who curse you, to do good to those who hate you. My number again, one more time, 347-857-1380. We still have 16 minutes in the show. And the number again, 347-857-1380. All I'm asking, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is to show me one verse in the Quran who said, to love your enemy, to bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you. I mean, heaven's sake, if you go to Romans chapter 12, verse 19 to 21, you see the same teaching. The Old Testament teach to love your enemy, to love those who love you, and to hate those who hate you, which is, by the way, is justice. Don't take me wrong. If you say, I'm going to love everybody who loves me, And everybody who hates me, I'm going to hate him. I know. What do you want to, what do you want people to do to you? You do to them. Okay, you hate me, I'm going to hate you. Okay, we become enemies. That's justice. But that's not the Christian life. That's not the Christian teaching. That's not the true God's heart. Because God's heart teaching came in the person of Jesus Christ, who took our place and he died on the cross for our sin. That is a true love. That is not to love those who love you. You know, if you're going to do somebody a good work, you do it to somebody who cannot repay you back. Jesus thought of that. If you're going to fix somebody a dinner, don't you know, I can take CB for a dinner. And I take him to a very fancy restaurant. We'll spend $100 for a dinner. And guess what? I know for sure CB, next week, next month, sometime in the future, he will take me to a restaurant, and he will spend a little bit, maybe more than me. That's the generosity of the Arab. If you give an Arab a gift worth $100, he will give you a gift worth $150. So I know for sure that CB is going to return my dinner back and he will buy me a better dinner. But that's not what Jesus wants us to do. He said, you want to do good? You do good to somebody, you know for sure he cannot repay you. He cannot give you back. And how you do this in a practical way of life is exactly what Jesus taught us here. To do what? To love our enemy. Because the enemy is not going to love you back. To bless those who curse you. I mean, the guy said, may the curse of Allah be on you. And you smile and you say, and may the blessing of our God in heaven be on you and your family. And somebody say, I hate you. And you say, you know what? Let me cut your grass. I hate your guts. Let me fix your car. By the way, here's your cow. Your cow is CBS from the Bible. I found your cow lost in the farm five miles away, and I noticed your cow. Take it. Is your cow. That is the teaching of the Bible. That is the opposite of the teaching of Muhammad in the Quran. And that's a huge difference between the teaching of the Bible and the teaching of Muhammad, where he tells what? Anyone who transgresses against you, he transgresses against him exactly. I'm sorry. That's not the God of the Bible. That is the Satan, the teaching of Satan and the work of Satan. And I'm done. Go ahead, CB.
You know, if this is the rule, what the need of God anyway? Because this is what people will do in normal way. You know, you beat me, I beat you.
Atheists will do it. I mean,
I do not need God to tell me that. You know, if it's about going crazy, we do not need the prophets, we do not need books, we do not need teachers. You know, let us live as animals, and this is what the zoo is about. You know, the jungle is about the strong, he beat the weak. So if I am weak, I will do whatever I want. And when you are weak, people will can eat you alive. So it's very clear in here. There's the form of justice is very wrong in Islam. Actually, the verse you quoted, Osama, about free for the free, slave for the slave, women for the women. And here, not only it's about revenge, it's about stupidity.
It's barbaric. It's a very barbaric teaching. There's no justice in it.
It's no justice because simply, how you want to kill a man, he killed your woman. Why you want to kill his women?
Where's an justice? Innocent woman. She have not touched my wife. It's her husband who killed my wife. Why? Where is the justice for me to kill his wife?
Yeah, but you know, this is not only about revenge. It's about being a stupid mental. Somebody did not even do anything to you, or a slave for a slave. Like now, we have the first slave is killed, he's a victim. Now we will have two victims, because you will not kill the one who killed the slave, you will kill the one, you will kill a slave of the one who killed the slave. A slave owned by him, not him, who the killer. So the killer will still alive, and he will be like watching, and he's having fun. The only lose he have, he lost a slave. Because he killed a slave of somebody else. What is justice? Now we have two victims of instead of one. And the real killers are laughing and having fun.
Yeah. But that's what the Quran says here. فَمَنْ اَعْتَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ in English. So whoever commit a transgress against you, so transgress against him similar to how he transgressed against you. So if a man kills your wife, you don't kill his son, you kill his wife.
But Osama, here we need to remind people in here, that is for practice between like today. The Muslims don't practice this even with us. Like, I wish this is the case. Like, if the Christians attack you, attack them.
Yeah.
No, we wish. Like, do you see the Coptic in Egypt? They are attacking the Muslims? Never.
Christian Prince, it's been 1,400 years. I'm daring Muslims to show us when Christian in Egypt burn a mosque. When Christian Egypt attack and harm Christian Muslims in their homes and kill them or burn their homes or burn their business. I dare any Muslim in Egypt to show us one time we did anything harmful against Muslims for 1,430 some years, CB. We have never anything ungodly to the Muslims.
This is my point I'm trying to make, that even that verse is not to practice with us. This is between Muslims to each other. You know, this is what they know now because Allah abrogated many verses in the Quran. And actually, that verse even contradicts the Quran itself, because the Quran in chapter 9, verse number 1, it says that Allah, He give you no obligation with the kuffar. No obligation. You can do whatever you want. It's not about if they attack you, attack them no more. It's about you go and kill them all and do whatever you want. So that is not really, that verse do not present what Muslims believe. Because honestly, if the Muslims, they would practice this, no problem. If they will not attack me unless I attack them, I will be happy to hear that. But the Muslims don't practice this. You know, isn't it Muhammad, he sent the three letters to the king of Ethiopia, the king of the Persian, the king of the Roman, saying, either you convert or you die.
Absolutely.
You accept Islam. So what is this verse from this? If the verse saying attack them the way they attack you, here we go. Where is the Roman attack Muhammad? When the Persian attack Muhammad? When the Ethiopian attack Muhammad? When the Egyptian attack Muhammad? When the Pakistani attack Muhammad? The Muslims, they went all the way to Spain, to France, to Rome. Who attacked them? Nobody. Because some people might say now, what about the crusade? The crusade did not attack the Muslim. The Muslim attacked the crusade. The crusade was a reaction. Go and read the books. The crusade are not the one who attacked the Muslims. It is the Muslim who came to the cities of the crusade. Those Christians are living there for hundreds of years, even before they became Christians. You know, when Jesus is born, he was born where? Born in the land of Israel. That
yes,
land
indeed.
Was occupied by who? By the Roman. So, the Roman exist there for thousands of years. And even when Jesus is born there, it was occupied by the Roman. The same people became a Christian. Nothing changed. So the Roman are living there. They did not, as some liberals, they try to present over the crusade as a bunch of criminals who attack to loot and to steal and to rape and etc. As always, they present them in movies. You know, crusades are bad people who attack innocent and riot villages. This is a false image about the crusade. You might hear some stories about crusade did something bad, but this is very normal. Like, you know, USA sent the army to Iraq, and their army have more than 200,000 soldiers. There's one of them, he raped an Iraqi woman. One, just one out of 200,000 soldiers. This is nothing. So you might find a criminal inside the army doing something bad, but this is not the mission. And the crusade was a reaction for an action. It's not them who attack, they've been attacked. And always, I encourage Christians, when somebody speak about the crusade, please speak out. Because the crusade are not getting, you know, somebody to defend who they are. The crusade...
They're not getting fair talk. They're not going to get their fair share.
Right. I always
ask, where did the crusade went to? Did they went to Mecca? Did they went to Yemen? Where did they went to? Their own home, their own land to defend it.
They want to take their land back, the one which is taken from them. It is the Muslim who came and they attacked and they took the land from them. So why they are the bad one? It is because, you know, through history, Osama, the liberals, they took over Europe. And from that time, they start teaching people. They went against everything the church stand for, anything. The crusade are Christians, so let us make them look ugly.
Look bad.
Absolutely.
Disgusting. Absolutely.
You know, they are not the people of justice. They are thieves. They are a bunch of filthy people. They are criminals. So we see in the, even in schools, you know, a student, like What is the honesty in education? Why nobody want to show the truth that those people, they never attack anyone until they attack? Like, why the crusade never happened before Islam attacked them? If the crusade or exist, they should attack before. You know, Usama? Like, if the crusade, if those crusade, why the crusade exists? Let us ask this question. Why they exist? Exist because the Muslims, they attacked Jerusalem. And they took
over the country. They killed the Christians. They killed the Jew. They brought terror to Jerusalem. And if it is not for the French to fight and for the Spanish to fight, Europe today would be a Muslim country a long time ago. As a matter of fact,
absolutely.
America today would be a Muslim country.
Actually, the crusade is the one, you know, we own our freedom today, me and you, to the crusade. Because if the crusade did not do what they do, you know, all of Europe will be from hundreds of years, more than 1,000 years ago, will be under the control of Islam. If the crusade are not exist, Spain today will be under the control of Islam. Rome will be under the control of Islam. Even America will be in, the whole world will be under Islam. So we own our freedom, our life, the freedom of speech to the crusade, the one who defend and the one who gave their life to fight this evil, disgusting army of Islam who came for no reason. Actually, I can show the proof right now for any Muslim he dare to challenge. Muhammad saying in the chapter of Al-Ahzab, in the explanation of Al-Qurtubi, اغزو تغنموا بنات الأصفر, attack them, let us ride
them. Invade them, you will take the young ladies, the beautiful beautiful white people, white females.
The blondie, not only the white
people,
he said, تغنموا بنات الأصفر, the blondie girls. So attack them to get the blondie girls. His reason was not...
What a wonderful word of encouragement from the Prophet of Allah to the Muslim people. Go fight, engage in war, so you can end with the blonde girl, the white, beautiful, with the white, what do you call it, gold hair.
You know, and you will notice that one of the Muslims, he said to him, don't tempt me with women. So Allah, so Allah, he made a verse saying that the one who is saying that to you is a hypocrite.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
you know?
Indeed. Well, CB, believe it or not, we're almost out of time. And by the way, next week we'll continue to finish this portion of the moral mistakes in the Quran. And we have plenty yet to come. Even though we're only giving you samples, we're going to get to the treatment of women and marriage in Islam. So much sickness. Lord have mercy. Oh, no, wait. So let's say goodbye, ma salama, until we will be talking to you again next week. Go ahead, CB. Say your goodbye.
Well, you know, Osama, call me tomorrow, you know, because today I will stay in the room, as you know. But tomorrow, if you can call me, that will be good, so we can talk about it.
I'll do that, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say God bless you for all. And I hope next Saturday you will join us again and you will learn more. And we challenge seriously. Any Muslim, scholar, small, big, doesn't matter how size your size is, because size, it doesn't matter for us. Size, it does matter in Islam, not for us. For us, you are small, and Islam is small, and Allah is small, and He is not Akbar. He is weak, He is not a brave, He have no courage, He have no answers, and He is no one. And Christ is Lord, and Islam is false, and I mean to that.
Amen, amen, amen. Christy, go ahead, say your goodbye, sister.
Well, we just want to tell everybody that we have had a great group in the chat room. They've really been a blessing. They're learning things, and we hope they'll share what they're learning with others and have them join us. And, you know, pray for the Muslim people. Our message is to reach them with the truth. That may not make them like us, but, you know, if we love them, we have to try and reach them with the truth. They need to be set free from Islam. God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless you all. And I look forward to see you again next week from 10 to 12 Eastern time. We would love to have more and more of your friends and people from your church. God bless you all. Good night.
You've been listening to Revealing the Truth About Islam, where we broadcast the light of Jesus Christ into the darkness of Muslim hearts. Join us right here each and every Saturday from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. And remember, guide us to the straight way, and Jesus is the way.